previously on Worlds Away.
This isn't an impromptu facility. It's a very organized operation that they have here.
The Aventine military never intended to leave Lua. They just shuffled some things around.
Don't make any sudden moves, and I won't have to make any sudden moves.
I'm going to walk over to this case. I'm going to pull it away from you, and I'm going to examine its contents. And if you move, my associate here will make it so you don't have to regret your actions anymore.
I'll ask you again, what's your name? And if you don't tell me, it's going to be Marvin. So just tell me if you like that better than whatever your actual name is.
It's Riley.
It's Marvin.
So the goal here is for me to take the hose with the umbilical and put it next to an improvised open flame. I would like the oxygen tank to blow up in the room with all the other munitions and to blow this asteroid the fuck up.
Nadia, this is important. Did you receive a message of any kind? Did you hear from anyone? I just experienced something similar, and I'm trying to understand what happened.
I just had the strangest dream. It was so real, and it was like I was flying. And I think when she says that, the door opens, and we see Nasir like kind of chasing behind a captain in an Aventine military uniform who kind of busts into the medbay.
Nasir, Leela, let me introduce you to Riley, both the only survivor and the reason why there's only one survivor from the Amity.
Oh, Captain Alba is not going to be happy.
No, she's really not.
We did also recover this.
And I think just for effect, she's gonna kind of open the case and show Leela and Nasir the beacon.
I have a question in mind. Do you want me to ask it first and then roll?
It's up to you, I think, either way.
How does it compare to our secret stash?
Oh, ooh. Fuck.
Because you know we
what
got
a question.
One.
That's a great fucking question. Oh my god. I kind of don't even want you to roll for that, dude. Oh, fuck. That's such a good narrative question.
It's so rude that we had to play with this guy.
And I just want to say, like, what you've revealed too. Mara, you'd expressed anger with, like, the Aventine people or the government of Aventine because they had, like, spat in the face of the armistice. Mm-hmm. But, like, just to put an underline on this, Arno just said that we were doing it too, but they were just doing it better.
Yeah, no. That's fair.
This is all well and good, but what you all need to know about is that there is another threat at hand.
We need the four of you on the bridge right away. There's some trouble.
We need to get out of here immediately. How fast can we jump?
It shouldn't take long. I'll just have to do a few calculations. And then she's cut off because Lieutenant Davis says, "Captain?" And just as he says that, we see four streaks of flame erupt from the Perseverance, and whatever they're propelling begins flying directly toward the Valiant. Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'm your game master, John Ossip, and here with me is Haley Daria.
Hello.
Lauren Wilbanks.
Double lover.
Michael Morales.
Still pride.
And Moshtara.
Meep.
All right. I want to jump right into it, and that is because the last thing we saw at the end of the previous episode was
us getting attacked. You attacked us.
That's true. Two streaks of fire erupted from the Aventine cruiser. and they're currently headed directly for the Valiant. The four of you are on the bridge, along with Captain Alba, Lieutenant Rye, and Lieutenant Davis, and all of you are currently huddled around a console to the left side of the bridge. Now, Mara, I'm going to put a bit of a point on it and say that you are currently closest to the pilot seat and ask what you do.
Well, who's in there? I hope someone.
No, it is currently empty because everyone stood up to look at this console. So the ship is kind of drifting currently or at a standstill, as much of a standstill as you get in space, and you're all looking at this console.
We need your leadership.
Yeah, I mean,
you
like,
could drive it, or you could let somebody else drive it. That is
like,
up to
I'll
you.
Seize the wheel. I mean, like, I don't want to invert the chain of command or something here.
I think it's like we're in crisis, and it's like, what? How do you react to being the one that's closest to the wheel right now?
Yeah, I think I run over and
split seconds.
It's thrusters on. It's full speed ahead.
Okay, I think that we hear kind of the alarm sounding from the missile lock on the bridge. And you jump into the pilot seat and flip switches to turn the thrusters on. I think that we see Lieutenant Rye sort of take a position next to you and start also clicking buttons and trying to support your efforts here. And I think we hear Captain Alba say, "How quickly can we jump away?" And Lieutenant Davis responds, "About 60 seconds for the drive to spool up." And then she looks to you and says, "Get us out of here as fast as you can, Doctor." And I want to know what that looks like.
I think that Mara looks like pure focus in this moment. It's 100% instinct. For a bit of her backstory, I think she was gifted by Nolan Callahan some sort of personal, like the speedboat of the sky. As an ostentatious gift for doing something. And so I think that muscle memory kicks in and she is just as fast as possible. I think her eyes are whatever the closest instrument that she can train to, you know, if it's some sort of distance monitor or if it's a live video feed to the rockets. I think she's either looking forward, the instruments forward, or occasionally flipping her eyes back to whatever is tracking them.
All right, I'm going to have you roll, obviously, at some point. Before I get to that, what are the rest of you doing to assist in this effort to avoid these missiles and get the Valiant out of there?
I think when... Was it Davis who said that it'll take 60 seconds for us to jump?
Mm-hmm.
I think Lila's going to look over to the console where the contramatter drive stuff is, the dials and the big red button, as it were. And seeing that no one's standing over there, I think she's going to hop over there and try to initiate that sequence.
Okay. So this is you want to roll to jump away is what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
Okay. What about Arno or Nasir?
John, I want to scope it out. Do we have 60 seconds? Let me phrase that. Do we have 60 seconds or do we need to do something to buy more time before those missiles hit us?
I don't think you have to roll for that. I think that you know that unless Mara evades them, you don't have 60 seconds before the missiles will hit you. But I think she is currently trying to get out of the way of these missiles. I think that that's going to be a matter of 10 to 20 seconds, right? So there's, I think not only do you have to avoid that, but I think you also may have to avoid whatever's coming next. But if you want to scope it out, there could be more to find out about the situation. I just don't think you need to roll for that information.
I think I would like to see if there's any strategic advantages available to us in the process of evading.
Okay.
In other words, is it better to evade towards like a certain system or a cluster of asteroids or something to that effect? Like that's what I want to get.
Does he know anything about the missiles, like, that would be, like, a shared expertise or anything, right?
I could see that going either way. I mean, the ship... I'll say this. So you did take the scanner for the ship, and one of the effects of that is it gives you advantage to scope it out. You could also use that to ask questions about the ship that is attacking you and what modules they have and sort of do they have weak points or what's the threat. And then also, I think there's the regular questions on the list that could give you more insight about the situation. Or if you wanted to, I think you probably know something about Aventine's military capabilities. So if you think it's share expertise, I would just then, I think, ask me that specific question. Whichever way you want to take it, I would allow that.
No, I think what I want to figure out right now is we're in a ship that's not suited for combat. And I'd like to figure out what we can do to get out of here as quickly as possible, as safely as possible.
And okay, so I think that's scope it out probably. So go ahead, and if you're using the sensors, so maybe we see you sort of run to that console. I think I want you to roll now just because maybe what Nasir does might, you know, he might get to use that information. So go ahead and roll plus calculating with advantage.
And then separately, what was the name of the ship that's attacking us again?
It is the Perseverance.
All right. And that's with advantage?
Yes.
All right. We're taking 11.
Awesome.
Damn.
So on scope it out, with a full success, you can ask three questions from the list. And that standard list is, where is my best escape route, way in or way past? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my enemy's true position? Who or what here is not what they seem? Who's really in control here? How could I best end this quickly? Or who or what here could be a useful opportunity? And then additionally, because you're using the scanner, if you're scanning a ship or a station, which I think you are here, you can also ask, what modules do they have? Where are they weak and where are they strong? So go ahead and pick your three from those lists.
I think it's fair to say, where is my best escape route, way in, way past? Absolutely. Right?
Yeah.
I would like to know how I could best end this quickly.
Okay.
And who or what here could be a useful opportunity? Does that sound right to everybody?
No, it sounds great.
I was trying to think if there was a way to like use one of the special ship related ones, but I just feel like the regular scope it outs are so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think some of these might have some overlapping answers. So I'm just going to give you a couple things that probably each of them are covered by every one of these questions. So in terms of escape route, and you know, maybe this is one of the answers for ending this quickly and also useful opportunity, we had mentioned that in this system, the solar interference was extremely strong. And the Aventine ship, I think it had your position because it knew that you were in this system and it knew you were investigating the Amity in this location before it sort of chased after this distraction. But if you made it back toward the sun or kind of went around the sun, I think it would be very difficult for them to either follow you or for them to maintain missile lock. So I think that is one opportunity is, can you get closer to the sun or sort of go in that direction and maybe sort of shoot past there to the other side of the system? That might put them in a blind spot or at least make it hard for them to track you. Another option of ending this quickly is surrounding on either side of the star, surrounding the system, there's this asteroid belt that you're in. And I think that you could use that asteroid belt either A, as a place to hide if you needed to, but I think with some improvisation, you could also use the asteroids themselves as a potential weapon and instigate a crash of the ship if you timed it right or sort of moved an asteroid in between you and the chasing vessel. I'm not sure that that's what you want to do in this circumstance, but I think those are two ways to, or maybe even three ways to approach the situation and use the environment to your advantage.
Dr. Bulova, is this your first time flying in combat?
Yes, that's accurate.
Dr. Bulova, I need you to fly towards that star.
You got it.
That was easier than I expected.
Excuse me. I think that if there's one thing about Mara we know is that she understands authority and, like, experience, and she will show deference in that opportunity.
I do think Leela is gonna throw a questioning glance and say, don't we have to be farther away from the star to activate the EM drive?
As long as they have a lock on us, we won't get far enough away from that ship to be able to use the EM drive. The best chance that we have right now is to hope that the star's interference manages to get them to lose us. We need to use the interference from that star to disrupt their sensors.
All right. While that's happening, Nasir, I want to go to you and find out what are you doing, if anything, to assist in this escape plan?
So I'm going to actually turn your question back at you.
Uh-oh.
Wait. Made we that. Can do that?
Are the laser control? Where on the Valiant are the controls for our lasers?
I think they're on the bridge. I think they're on the bridge, right?
I mean, I don't know. Are they on the bridge? Are they in like a little side pod where there's someone like shooting? Like where? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a group question. What do we think about that?
Do you want to run off valiantly to where the weapons are?
I want to run off stupidly, and I want everyone to be confused, but I want to be running towards where the weapons are.
I guess it's somewhere not on the bridge, then. And I will find that anywhere you run on the ship, you do so valiantly.
Boo. Oh, I thought you were going to make him roll for it.
We can edit that out.
No. No. You don't get to escape that pun. That's on the record.
Let me throw this out there. You might have the controls of the weapons in the wardroom.
I like that kind of. I kind of like that.
Maybe it's like, oh, on the bridge, there's a way to do it. But also it's like you can pull up the kind of VR like gunner mode in the using the holo table or whatever you described. So
I think there's like a split second delay from when they announce that there's two beams of fire coming at us. And like, I think probably Arno, Mara, and Leela react a little faster. And then seeing them take their positions, I just turn tail and run to the back of this deck towards the wardroom.
Valiantly.
And let me just ask, is your plan to use the lasers to shoot at the attacking ship, or are you trying to use the lasers to shoot down these missiles coming toward you?
Shoot the missiles first, shoot the ship if necessary.
In that case, I think I'm going to put it to you. Mo, if you're trying to use these lasers to protect the ship, and Lauren, you're trying to evade the missiles with your flying skills, which do we want to roll first? Up to you all.
So I think that us jumping and getting to a place we can jump is like the most critical. Everything we're doing before that is to like allow us to do that. So I don't know which of these two things is like most likely to help us jump.
I think actually if I can take back, maybe I have a solution, which is maybe you both roll at the same time.
Aw.
Cute.
Maximum drama.
All right.
What am I rolling?
Three.
Wait. Mo, you're rolling plus volatile.
So you're going to actually... No, you're going to pull up the National Institute of Standards Technology, the official U.S. time, and you're going to have that on one screen, and then we're going to both roll at 4:05.
Time.gov, this roll.
Just kidding. I'm rolling stalwart.
I guess that's a good question. I mean, to me, this feels a little bit more slick than some of your other rolls, but I would take an argument for it being stalwart. What do you think it is here? And yeah, we're kind of getting at the emotions of what Mara is experiencing or how she's reacting to the situation. I think like slick is good for like dodging. Stalwart is good for like getting to your destination unwaveringly. So is like the higher priority getting to the other side of the star, or is it avoiding the missiles that are coming toward you? Maybe that's the question.
I think because of the direction that Arno just gave, she's focused on getting the thing going somewhere.
Okay.
I think that she's viewing the missiles as her problem as an if she can outpace them, yes.
Okay.
But I think she's assuming there are other highly talented individuals also attempting to solve this problem.
Okay. I think I'll allow stalwart then, but you know, it might be more in Mo's hands about the missiles, and then I think the effect of you getting away, that might succeed more. So,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and roll and see what happens.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Click.
Click. Oof.
4 and a 5 is a 9, 10, 11.
That is a 5 from me.
Ooh, well.
Okay, so we have a success and a fail. So, Mo, go ahead and mark XP.
I level up.
Woo!
Oh, nice. What advance do you want to take?
Take missile evasion. you have studied the trip mine, and you understand comprehensively explosives in all their forms. Any dice when you avoid.
I already leveled up volatile, or that's what I would do here. I think I'm going to level up slick. I think that the nature of like my fast thinking has gotten more physical in recent missions. So I think I'm gonna up slick to plus 3.
Okay. And that's the first plus you've taken a slick, correct? Is that was already
that is
your plus
correct.
Two?
Okay. Yes. For what it's worth, this is not describing the consequence, but describing what's happening. Okay. I think if Lauren is doing like full thruster evasive maneuver to like jerk us to the other side of the star, I think.
Are you making
like,
your fail my fault?
No. I'm saying that Lauren, you succeeded. And yeah. I think I am not good at manning a gun, and I have only practiced with this gun in like a simulation where I'm like, like, and this is like much more real firefight.
So yeah, what I think this looks like is, so Lauren, you put like the pedal to the metal, right? And we see the Valiant streaking toward the star in this system and leaving this asteroid belt. And I think it's kind of like, you actually like whip around the attacking vessel. So you're on like they're having a reverse course to chase you down. But the missiles are kind of streaking behind you. And I think it's almost like the speed that the Valiant is going at is kind of
approaching the speed of the missiles. So it's like they're gaining on you and are getting very close, but they're kind of slowing down because you are just maximum thrust. Nasir, I think you're manning the lasers. And what do we think this looks like, the kind of VR laser shooting display that you're pulled up in the wardroom? Can you just describe what the like getting into the turret mode looks like here?
I think that the sort of center console, like you just see me like essentially jump into my classic seat and grab two hand controls that are like loose. They essentially look like not quite brass knuckles because they're just like little pieces of tech.
Mm.
And I'm like, Cassandra, pull up laser display. And it like projects out onto the room.
Yeah.
And it's like a rendering of the Valiant from like a third person perspective. And like the other things around us are sort of like rendered as best space as invaders. Possible. Space invaders, but 3D space invaders.
Okay. So I think we see you jump into this and we kind of see the grid like take over the room and you aligning the laser cannon. Outside the ship, we see streaks of light kind of shoot out from the ship. And it's not like in, you know, Star Wars or whatever, there's kind of these short beams that go really slow. It is all like very fast and it's almost you whipping this light beam around. We see it cut through one of the missiles and it explodes a safe distance from the Valiant. But before you are able to reach the other one, I think maybe you hit it, but it's already too close and we see it detonate. The ship is going to take 2 damage.
We have shields, so...
Okay.
We should
activate... Are you activating the shields?
Team, are we...
I think now is time to activate the shields. I think we should activate the shields.
I think you got to activate the shields from Arno on the bridge or something to that effect.
So I think we've already seen the kind of personal shields that Nasir, you had an encounter that involved those at one point. And so I think we see it kind of shimmer and glow around the ship. But those shields dissipate, and I think everything kind of shakes a little bit. We have the Star Trek shaky cam happening. So discharge the shields, check off that box, and then you're still going to take 1 damage to the Valiant. So go ahead and check that 1 damage box off.
So 1 damage puts us at superficial damage, which means carbon scoring, metal plating, or scratched paint. Superficial damage makes your ship look uglier, but it doesn't have any negative effects.
I want to put out there that before you read that, I was going to make a scuff the paint joke anyway, but I'm really glad that that's actually what happens.
Adrian got there first.
Canonically.
So I think we see you zooming toward the star now, and I think maybe it's like we can see your sensor array kind of start to static a little bit, so you know that whatever that effect is, it is many times worse on the Aventine ship. But as you continue to fly and are sort of approaching a safe distance to jump, Arno, are you doing anything else on the bridge to sort of interfere with this attack or to assist in the escape plan other than operating the scanners?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think having looked at the scanners over here, the first thing I want to do is head over to Dr. Belova. Dr. Belova, you're doing great. I want you to get as close as you are comfortable getting to that star and use its gravity to slingshot us away.
I think you see a like kind of feral smile creep over her face and she shoots you like a side eye with like daggers of excitement and she's like, are you asking to ride the wave?
Is gravity a wave?
Yes.
It's a metaphor.
All right. Cassandra.
Yes, Arno.
Open a line to the Perseverance.
Oh boy.
Oh no. I think Leela is like typing away at the console, trying to get the contramatter drive boop booping, and has like starting to hover her hand over that button. So as soon as we're ready, she can push it. And then she hears Arno say that, and she slumps a little bit and shakes her head because this is going to be interesting.
I think Arno catches that at the corner of his eye and just says, "What are they going to do? Shoot more rockets at us?"
I'm loath to give Arno any credit, but like he makes a good point.
Yeah, fuck Shen. Rude. We saved their person and he still shot at us.
We also blew up their military base. Like, let's be very real.
They have more.
So I think that Cassandra says, I've opened a line, but it's only one way unless they respond.
Thank you, Cassandra. Captain Shen, have you thought about what you're going to be writing in your report?
I don't think there's any immediate response, but do you keep talking or say anything else? And what are you trying to do here?
I'm just trying to get him really flustered.
Okay.
I would like for him to get fixated on us such that, like, he wants to follow the ship. And if we slingshot or try to, like, pull a switcheroo, like, I just want him... I want his decision-making abilities slightly impaired by how angry he is.
Okay, I like that. Okay, but whatever. I want to keep going. Yeah. Give me more.
Give us that monologue.
I think I'll just give you this. I think we see the reverse shot on the bridge of the Perseverance, and he looks up, and if he were holding a pencil, which he is not, it would have snapped, but he looks up as he hears you over the comms, and I want to hear what else is being transmitted over this channel.
Does Aventine demote their captains for losing their targets, or are you going to be going to a forced labor camp?
Ooh. All right.
Gulag his ass!
All right.
Very base racist assumption.
Now,
you're not
do
in the
you
room,
think,
this year. You're
do
not
you
in the
think,
room.
Do you think that they're going to use their name in the official apology for the attack on a civilian ship? Or are you just a captain that went rogue and disobeyed orders?
All right. I think you've achieved your objective enough to roll. So go ahead. I think it's intimidate. I think the threat is that he's going to have a whole bunch of shit dumped on him when you escape his grasp. And so I want you to go ahead and roll plus volatile.
Oh, fuck,
and we will
yes.
see what happens.
I would like to request that a special move be made for Arno that's just called antagonize.
Yeah, I'd allow that.
Antagonize.
That's a 12.
Oh, fuck.
If there's one thing Arno's good at.
Woo. Sorry, I was just itching my eye. Give me one second.
No, he's crying.
Yeah,
he's really
crying.
He's in Captain Shen character, and he's like, "Boo-hoo-hoo,
my stars. I only do method.
I got wrecked.
My stripes."
So what I think happens is you just hear on the bridge of the Valiant a loud squelch and static as if someone's like jamming the line. But on the bridge of the Perseverance, we see him standing over their pilot seat. And we just hear Captain Shen say, "I don't give a damn, run them down." And then I think you see out the back of the Perseverance, the engines light up even brighter as they chase you full speed toward this star. Haley, I want you at this point to go ahead and roll plus alien to try to, as Mara slingshots around the star, to activate the CM drive of the Valiant. I think you can do so with advantage based yes. on the scope it out information and the setup of the slingshot maneuver around the star.
Thank you.
And if that doesn't work, then we will pick it up with Mara trying to continue to evade the ship.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I didn't add my extra die.
That's an 8.
Okay.
Just enough.
All right. So that's a mixed success. And just reading from the move here, when you use your Contra Matter Drive to escape a harrowing situation, you roll plus alien. On a 10 plus, you get away scot-free, but on a 7 to 9, there's a cost to escape or you run into something unexpected along the way.
Yay.
So, Lauren, I want to know, what does it look like as you slingshot around the star? Go ahead and describe this maneuver for me.
So I think that there is a complete repositioning of all of the dials. So at a certain point, like, Mara is watching has readjusted the monitor to like a distance countdown to a predetermined location where there needs to be a complete sea change in how the Valiant behaves. So I think we're going, and in her head, maybe even like out loud, it's like a 5, 4, 3, 2. And then it's click, 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 snap, 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 click, click, click. And then, like, you feel this hard bank happen. And I think anyone who's standing is, like, kind of thrown, like, not all the way across the bridge, but is absolutely tossed a little bit. And even if you weren't buckled in, you're, like, feeling you get a quick throw to the side. And then you have to kind of almost, like, steady your body against the pole. It's like taking a bank and a roller coaster almost.
Mm.
Okay. So I think you do that, and maybe we see everybody on the bridge bracing and grabbing the handrails. Mm-hmm. I think, again, in the kind of Star Trek cut of this, we get some shots of on other parts of the bridge, people getting kind of like knocked off their feet into the walls or trying to hold on as the artificial gravity on the Valiant adjusts to this maneuver.
But not us, because we're the player characters, and we're cool.
Correct, yeah.
Right.
I mean, maybe, like, there's some hands thrown up in the air.
I don't know where it came from, but Leela has a cape now.
I also definitely get hot coffee spilled on me, because I'm...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Cassandra just allowed you to drink hot coffee again, yeah. And you immediately get it thrown on you.
Yeah, there's some head shakes in the computer system of why did I allow Nazir to do that. But you come out of this bank on the far side of the star, and we don't see the Perseverance anymore. And I think, Leela, what does it look like as you're kind of like punching in the jump into this drive? Or how does it kind of look on the console as you're preparing to execute this?
I think similar to Nazir, Leela has only ever done this in training. So it was not under conditions where she was getting thrown around or where, you know, the ship had been hit. So I think maybe as she's tippy-tapping and booby-dooping, I think there's a tremor to her hand a little bit, and it's the situation is getting to her. But I do think she, like, completes all of the necessary countdown maneuvers and hits that button, hits that big red button.
So I think when you press the button, there's kind of, like, the final countdown where it's like, oh, you've committed. And mm-hmm. It's like 5, 4, 3. Mo, I want to go back to you. And just say that you have the grid up. What are you looking at? Or are you still kind of in this defensive laser mode? What are you kind of looking at in your position in the wardroom right now?
I mean, I am checking to see if there's anything else we should be aware of, right? Like, is there anything to interfere with us? Also, I have a question for Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Would Leela have accounted for the additional drift?
No.
I think, like, if once the missiles hit and we've been rocked and I've got coffee spilled all over me, if there's another set of missiles, I'm looking for them so I can shoot them. But if not, I'm trying to, like, adjust Leela's plotting, because Leela didn't actually hear about the device because, or like, I don't know that I got to give that information to Leela. I don't remember if I did.
Hmm. So what I think that looks like is we see the kind of combat mode or the grid that was showing outside the Valiant go to kind of picture in picture. And instead, you have a bunch of charts and graphs and data up as you're adjusting the engine's profile to account for the drift, trying to beat the clock and put this in as fast as you can before the jump happens. And this is at the same time that that countdown timer is going from 4 to 3. You hear a rapid beeping. As out of nowhere, a additional contact appears on the grid. And it's not that it's like, oh, it came out of the interference. It just wasn't there before. And now it is. The timer counts down 2, 1, 0. And just as you are jumping away, the ship is rocked by an additional blast. And it's almost like this static overtakes the whole ship as a kind of electrical shock hits the vessel. You do jump away, but I want you to go ahead and mark another damage to the Valiant.
Ooh.
As that you were attacked by this appearing vessel.
Ghost ship.
One might say.
It has a name, John.
So that was a direct hit. Smoke and sparks pour from the flickering consoles, alarms bleat, the lights flicker, and the deck shudders under your feet. Any roll using a ship system is at disadvantage. However, we can perform spot repairs to restore normal operations.
So I think we see those kind of sparks coming out of some of the consoles on the bridge, but eventually through the windscreen, we see the blue glow that shows the Valiant traveling faster than light. And we see the star that you just slingshotted around growing smaller and smaller into the distance until it's just one of many in the sky. I think everyone on the bridge is breathing heavily. And Nazir, maybe you sort of walk in the door at this point also. Captain Alba, I think, is the first to speak. And she says, I need to check on the ship, make sure everyone is okay. And then she kind of turns around to look at you and says, but then I want to see the four of you in the wardroom. Before you can respond, though, she turns to Lieutenants Davis and Rye, and she says, I will explain what happened here to the crew, but until then, we need to keep things calm, avoid a panic. Understood? And I think there's like an immediate look of protest on their faces. And maybe Lieutenant Rai even opens her mouth slightly as if to speak. But then the two of them look at each other and then look back at the captain. And we just hear them each say, ma'am, with a shallow nod. But at this point, I want to cut to the wardroom. And I think the four of you are there before Captain Alba arrives. So what are the four of you doing there or saying to each other?
Celebratory fist bumps, doing Jaeger bombs to celebrate. I don't know.
I think we just see Mara sitting back in a state of relaxation, which you haven't seen from her. And she is sipping exactly one finger of whiskey, looking satisfied.
I think Leela kind of drops into a seat and just is slumped over and just says, holy shit. We were just attacked by an Aventine ship. That was an out-and-out act of war.
We were also attacked by the ghost ship. And I'll pull up the footage from the, like, the essentially the findings from the last moment before we jumped. The final strike came from our rogue assailants.
Nasir, did we get a read on them?
I'm not sure. Cassandra, did we get any readings on the ghost ship as it decloaked and fired on us?
I think she says, scans were limited due to the solar interference, but I'm displaying all of the information collected now. And I think that what you see, Nasir, is it's like just a few lines of information, but I think you see information about the cloaking and the uncloaking. So I think it shows the ship appearing out of nowhere, or like new contact on the sort of radar appeared when it just was absent from there before, and that this was not an effect of the interference. And I think you see that it says type description, no match regarding the ship, and then weapon description, no match regarding what hit you at the end. And I think from that, you know that it doesn't match any known Republic or Aventine vessel in Cassandra's database.
Thank you, Cassandra.
Damn it. Even as it's firing on us, we can't get a read on the damn thing.
I suspect they attacked us because we have another device. Given the footage we found aboard the Amity. I'll also note that... Actually, John, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Based on the destructive power of the first device that we found, which we know because Mara has like analyzed it very thoroughly... And essentially extrapolating based on how much bigger the drift factor was for this new device on the Amity.
Yeah.
How, like, you said it was like many X times as powerful.
Yeah.
Does that mean like planet killer? Like, could this wipe out all of the Lustra on a planet?
Do we have the Lustra Death Star? I think Lustra Death Star would be a good band name.
I agree. Step one, get famous. Step two, make a metal band called Lustra Death Star.
I think I want you to go ahead and roll share expertise for that this year. And that's plus calculating.
Sure. Okay, I fail and get an XP.
A six, okay.
You don't have a modifier?
Nope.
Oof. Damn. Okay. So you go ahead and mark XP.
He spills more coffee on himself.
Probably not. So what I think happens, Nasir, is that, well, I think two things. One, you had asked, is this a planet killer? And I don't think that you can tell from, like, without examining the device directly, right? Just sitting there using the calculations of the drift itself. I don't think that you have enough information to make that determination. I think it's like, it's clear that it is a lot more powerful than the last one you found, but I think that you don't have enough to make that determination. I think there's one other thing that you notice. You had said that you put it in the drift correction, right?
Yes.
You go to check the correction because I think that's how you're trying to determine this. You're trying to see like how much the drift is. And you realize that the correction you put in, it is overcorrecting the mistake. And in fact, it's overcorrecting it to such a degree that you're not sure that this device is affecting the drift at all right now.
Fascinating.
And so it seems like at least you getting it now... And in between when you have the device on this ship and when it was on the Amity, something has changed.
Spooky.
You're saying I noticed that as we're going?
I think that if you were trying to determine, is it a planet killer? Like, you were checking, you went to like double check the results and you just noticed this right now.
Cassandra, can you verify that the jump corrections I made are not going to land us inside a planet?
The probability of intercepting a planet is near zero within 337 light years of our current position.
Well, that's a relief.
Thank you, Cassandra.
Nasir, where are you going with this?
I made adjustments to your jump trajectory based on the adjustments that were made aboard the Amity to account for the device's interference with a contramatter drive. In double-checking my findings, it appears that the device is not interfering with our contramatter drive at all. Something seems to have disabled it. And I'm going to send my... I'm going to bloop my findings to Mara, who is our resident device expert.
Yeah. I think she'll start looking through what you have on here. And I think she'll say, I won't be able to verify anything just based on these reads alone. I need to hook the device up to the rig in the research bay to accurately run calculations. But this is astounding.
Well, that is all of the semi-relevant information that I acquired. It is worth noting that should Aventine reacquire the Amity, that they may find adjustments have been made to its engines to allow for remote start.
I think that's truly the least of our worries right now.
In the interest of sharing information and transparency. How did everyone else fare?
My story is going to have to wait for another time. We need to be ready to explain to Alba what the hell happened and to make sure the crew doesn't panic.
I suggest, rather than focus on Captain Alba first, we make a determination on our strategic path forward and then make the intermediate decision secondary. We were attacked by an Aventine vessel. We discovered information that Aventine has been gearing up for war. Frankly, we know that the Republic is doing the same. We have another device on board, and we have a prisoner who's aware of everything, including about the Lustra-canceling devices.
I mean, we can't just tell Nico Torres all of this. How do we explain that we were shot at?
How do we not?
If Nico Torres knows this, he's going to take us to war.
If Nico Torres doesn't know this, and we're not ready, then we already know Aventine has first strike capabilities and is prepared for a long, drawn-out war.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with Arno. But I do not think Nico Torres is the person we need to go to.
We can't exactly tell President Lee. She's on the way out the door. So what do you have in mind?
I think we tell everyone.
I think at that, Leela kind of raises her eyebrows, as in like, ooh, now we're getting spicy.
I see that as a member of the Minerva Project, I currently have three objectives. The first is to prevent intergalactic war and ensure the continuation of the species. The second is to prevent these devices from ever being used. I do not want us recreating the sins of our ancestors and developing super weapons that divide humanity. The third objective, which has been reinforced by this mission, is that I want to know who the hell is piloting that ship that has now fired on us twice. Are any of these objectives disagreeable?
No.
No.
Sounds perfectly reasonable.
At this point, I think you hear a mild chime, and then the door to the wardroom slides open, and we see Captain Alba walk in. And I think as soon as she enters the room, she reaches behind her to the left and taps a panel to quickly close the door behind her. How do you all react to her entering the room?
I don't.
Yeah.
Just
she said
seated.
She was coming.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think she walks with intention toward an empty seat at the table and then sits down and places a slate to her left side. But then she looks to the four of you and says, I need you to be honest with me. the Aventines attacking us. That was about these devices you're searching for, right?
Probably.
On that asteroid, did you find one of them? One of these devices?
Captain Alba, before I answer that question, I have to ask how much personal risk you're willing to assume before we read you in.
Your compatriots, and I think she looks toward Leela and Nasir, already told me about your real mission. I'm not sure how much more risk I would be taking.
Captain, please disable Cassandra's recordings in this room until I'm done with my briefing.
Cassandra, you heard the man. I think we hear a chime as Cassandra stops recording.
We detected the presence of one of those devices in the asteroid field and followed that signal. We secured the device and discovered a cache of supplies that Aventine would be using, presumably in preparation for an all-out war. We also found two members of the crew from the Amity dead, shot in the asteroid, and one member was recovered alive. He's currently on the ship, sitting in the Grizz. He's the one who shot the other two. I'm sure I don't have to explain that what just happened was an act of war, and that if information leaks carelessly, there's no way for us to stop it.
So I think after you say that, I think she still is remaining upright and almost stiff in her chair, but I think the color drains from her face a bit. And she kind of touches the edge of the slate, but then briefly for a second reaches her hand up to her face, but then puts it back down when she realizes that she's fidgeting as she's thinking. And I think she says, the device you have on the ship, could they be tracking it? Do you think they would follow us back to Ascension, attack us there?
I doubt they would do something as brazen as attacking on Ascension Station.
And yet they attacked us.
They attacked us in an area where comms were down and where they had plausible deniability. Frankly, they could have wiped us off the map, and no one would have known. We would have just been another victim of the system.
Can I investigate something? So Nasir sent me the readings.
Mm-hmm.
And what you explained to him was that at a certain point, the correction that he added was unnecessary because there was no drift.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way that I can tell when the drift, if the drift just never started, or if the drift was occurring and then ended?
So, Lauren, I think before I answer that question, you haven't really had a chance to in-depth examine the device yet or hook it up to the, I think you'd mentioned earlier hooking it up to the equipment on the research lab. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, I think this is something that you could know, but I think maybe what I want to do is have you go ahead and roll scope it out right now. And I think if you succeed at that, you could hold some of those questions or get additional answers sort of once you plug this thing up to the research lab. So I'll let you roll now. You can get as many answer sort of questions as you get from the roll. And if you don't want to ask them all now, you could hold them and sort of preserve them for that later investigation.
Okay.
That said, I would also welcome if you have any kind of moves that would give you advantage or change the scenario. I welcome that. But otherwise, you can just go ahead and roll calculating.
So I think the only thing that I could use here is my expert background, right? And I have expertise in engineering technology and devices.
Mm-hmm.
So when I make a move covered by one of the fields of expertise, you can choose to do one of the following. Make a move, one last question. Ask the SM a question about the situation that relates to your expertise, and they will answer and ask you a question which you must answer or share expertise with a crew member. I'm interested in that second one.
Okay, so I think if that's the case, go ahead and roll scope it out straight, and then we'll see what the outcome is. But either way, then you can ask that question about the situation.
6, 7, 8, 9
Okay, awesome. So with a 9, you can ask one question from the list. So if you have a question now that you want to ask in addition to your additional question, that's fine. Or if you want to hold that for when you kind of plug it up, you can do either.
I'll hold the question. The from the list question.
Okay, sounds good.
But I want to ask you one question about the situation, which is, when we were blasted by this ship, is that when the device stopped giving us drift?
Okay. The answer to that question is yes. I also get to ask you a question, and that is, as you're thinking about this situation, and realizing the threat of war. Is there anyone on Earth who Mara is thinking of? And if so, who?
I think the biggest thing, I will answer your question, but I think the first thing on her mind is the realization that whoever is using this ship is unknown by the Republic, unknown by the fleet, unknown by Aventine and the Verge, and somehow knows the devices, how they work, and how to turn them off. And that is a level of gravity. It's like almost a kind of eldritch horror type feeling comes over her, where her brain is racing and she has no concept of, there's no grounding in reality for like a faction this powerful. I think she is remembering a bet with a scientist who she shares the Nobel with, who worked on the propagation problem with her. I think they bet when sapient life was going to be discovered in the Verge. And I think Mara bet like 50 years in the future, and that other scientist bet like within this decade, the one we're actively in right now. I think she's thinking about him and that bet.
Foreshadowing.
That tee you up? You like that? So I think after she's kind of been doing these calculations or looking at the data in the background, and when all of this realization hits and kind of this flashback, I think she offers to the question of will they attack Ascension Station, she'll say, they won't need to. They did exactly what they wanted to do when they attacked us. They turned it off. They turned off the device. And so she'll throw the calculation she's been running or the data she's been looking at up to the whatever projection right is at the front of the room. And she'll point at the before and after taking the hit and the device, again, the contramatter effect it had.
Excuse my ignorance, but isn't it good that the device is off?
We barely know how these things work. And with one attack, they can just silence it. How? Who? I think she's kind of looking around, especially to Arno and Captain Alba as individuals who are the most knowledgeable about advanced machinery and spaceships.
And sorry, let me just ask this. Did you like ever make clear to Captain Alba that we spotted the ghost ship or that that was what did the attack?
No, I think I was much just to say that. Captain Alba, there's one more thing. The second strike on the Valiant didn't come from the Perseverance. And I think I'm going to go to my slate and pull up the brief footage that Cassandra showed us of the ghost ship popping up and attacking us. This is what hit us. And if at all possible, if I could get on screen over here, no match, just so it's already on there, that'd be great.
Yes. Yeah, you do.
A little flavor.
I think she looks at this and we see her brow furrow significantly.
The same ship, or at least the same type of ship, attacked the Amity and its crew.
This is also the ship we showed you that attacked us when we first set foot on Consus. And it appears to be neither Republic nor Aventine.
So what, a rogue faction in one of our governments? Someone else in the Verge?
Most likely.
Whoever it is, they know what we're doing, they know where we're going, they know where we're hiding our dirtiest secrets, and they're doing the best they can to turn up the temperatures and play us against each other. And we don't know a thing about them.
The survivor you found from the Amity, did he know anything?
Nothing he was willing to share. He seemed much more intent on killing us.
What do you intend to do with him?
Can I ask something before that question happens?
Mm-hmm.
When Mara says he seemed much more intent on killing us, what is Captain Alba's reaction? Because that's coming from what to her is essentially a doctor, like a scientist. Mm. And she just like very casually said he was much more intent on killing us. Like, how is she reacting to seeing the real us?
So I think it's like Captain Alba is someone who has experience fighting a war. And so I think that this type of frank talk or lines like what Mara said are not a surprise to her. But I think as this is going on and as you're being more casual, I think she came into the room very stiff. And I think she is kind of much more focused, you can tell now, on getting out of this problem or figuring out a solution. And you know that she appreciates the real talk. I guess I'll put it that way. But I think she says, what do you plan to do with him now? Turn him over on Ascension?
I will look around to my colleagues. I, for one, do not believe that we can let information about the devices leave the Minerva Project just yet. And I am worried that if we turn him over on Ascension, he has that information, and that could be bad. I also think it's particularly bad if Aventine knows that we know about the devices and can track them.
What's our alternative? We can't just dump him on some asteroid.
Well, maybe not an asteroid, but we have a few ideas.
I think Leela kind of whips her head around because she was not expecting that to be Deus taken seriously.
To come out,
the Hines family has a collection of premier asteroids they have purchased.
Yeah, I think Captain Alba, just we see an eyebrow raise, not to steal from Nasir too much. But then I think she says, in either case, there's still the problem of the crew. We need to tell them something.
I believe that if you are willing to wait for us to land back on Ascension, we will be able to tell the crew much more without jeopardizing their loyalty to anyone. We're still working through a plan, and I'll just sort of like look at the other three. You asked us not to bring the crew in on very nearly mutinous behavior. We're hoping to honor that. We just need a little more time.
There's no hiding that we were attacked, so I'll need to say something. But I can give you an hour after we return to Ascension. Call it a post-flight shakedown.
An hour's good. And I think my tone is a little weird. I didn't quite expect an hour. And like, I'm like, this is good. That's better than I thought I'd get.
I do like how it's like, no. That was me acting.
Sometimes I sound like Mo when I'm being Mo, and sometimes I sound like Mo and Nasir is a little Mo-like.
Captain, I think it's safe to say, oh, that's poor choice of words, sorry.
Captain, it is unsafe.
Captain.
We're fucked.
Captain, I know the crew is going to have a lot of questions, but we're not out of the woods just yet. We don't have the luxury to stop running. There's a warship after us, and we need to get to safety first, but we'll make ourselves available to them and come up with an explanation.
I think at that, she nods and then stands up from the table, and she says, I'm going to go do some damage control, metaphorically and literally. Let me know when you have a plan. And I think with that, she turns and walks out of the door.
I think at that, I like visibly exhale and relax. Well, that's several hurdles down. So, secret base? And I'll like just look at Arno.
I said Aventine wasn't the only one with their own secret caches.
Hey there, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far and you know someone who has similar refined and sophisticated tastes, please go ahead and recommend us. If you have no friends, you can also help the show by rating and reviewing us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform you use to listen to podcasts. Additionally, give us a shout out on whatever social media platform you swear you're going to quit this year. If you want to say hi, you can also find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod or online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening. And now back to your episode.
All right. So I think with that line, I want to cut away. And I have a few questions about kind of next steps. So, Arno, I'm gathering that you want to lead the Valiant to one of the Republic equivalents of that asteroid base that we, or the fleet equivalents of that asteroid base that you had described last episode when you succeeded at that share expertise role. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. So I think we see you kind of giving the coordinates to Captain Alba, and I'm going to get more into where this place is or what this looks like in a little bit. But before that, I want to know, are you leaving Riley locked up in the Grizz or in the shuttlecraft, or are you moving him somewhere else in the Valiant at this point?
I think we're going to keep him in the Grizz and sort of communicate to Captain Alba, or hope that she's communicated to her crew that this is an all hands situation. And so don't go anywhere you're not supposed to be in an all hands situation. I think it's safe to say that while we're on high alert, that they're probably not going to be wandering around the cargo bay.
Okay. And what about the device, Mara? Did you want to take that to the research lab and hook it up there?
Yeah, that's her plan.
Okay. So while that's happening, are Leela and Nasir doing anything or just trying to decompress? What are they doing during the sort of journey of the Valiant?
I don't think Leela can decompress until she gets the alien stuff off her chest.
Fair enough.
I think Leela is planning to tell the other three and debrief them when they have a moment alone. But I also know that we don't really have control over Cassandra recording, and this is not something she wants recorded. So maybe when we're off the ship, dropping off our captive.
What does it look like as you're sort of preparing for that? Are you in your cabin? I mean, it could be. Are you physically preparing, or are you just kind of, do we see you mentally preparing, I guess?
I think Leela looks a bit listless. Usually when she is thinking or processing something, she will be, you know, practicing Arnis or painting or sketching or something. And I don't really think she's doing any of that. Perhaps at one point she's going to, we were kind of damaged, so I don't know if there's any sort of like manual labor or something that she can do on the ship, either to help repair it or, you know, just help out. But I think she's going to seek out something that is just mindless.
I think you can do that. And in fact, that's a good note of you can go ahead and check off the spot repairs for that.
Joke's on you. That's all I was trying to do the whole time.
All right. Well, you got me. So go and check that off.
Okay, so we can remove direct hit?
You can't remove it. You can check the spot repairs.
Got it. Okay, understood.
Yeah, so it still is, like, you're still at that level of damage, but you've negated the negative effect on the ship's performance, so you don't have to roll with disadvantage. But you may still want to get the ship fixed up
really
at some
repaired,
point.
Really repaired, yeah.
What about you, Nasir? What's he up to?
So I am in my cabin, and I think you see me, like, almost like triple screening it up, like with like a slate and a screen. And I'm like trying to review all of the data that we've collected about the ghost ship and everything that we've seen about the data that Mara collected on the bases and like everything that Arno gave us about like fleet movements in the Verge and like coming to the Verge. And rather than just like dumping all of it into like a file, I'm like writing up a report that is like removing any mention of the devices, but that is like using the data from these things as examples is what I think I'm doing. And I think you probably look at one screen and you just see like a list of every reporter on Ascension Station that I've like ever spoken to. And with like check boxes on like friendly and like X's that are like, don't ever talk to this guy. He's a jerk.
The Nasir burn list.
The Rolodex.
Yeah, it's my press list.
All right. So I think we see you kind of multi-screening, and maybe I want to do a little bit of split screen cut to the research lab then. So Mara, you had one question left on the scope it out list. So you can definitely ask that. But also, what does it look like as you're kind of plugging the device up, or what are you trying to look for as you're examining this thing?
So could I know we talked about it being more powerful. Mm-hmm. Can you describe its physicality for me? There's any differences or similarities?
Yeah, so I think externally, the device looks pretty much the same as the one that you found on Feronia, right? The design is extremely similar. Maybe there's some like minor variations in the shape or the way that the metal has worked on the outside. But I think you crack it open and go to look at the internals. And I think you notice that instead of that smooth metal part that was the one that was labeled with the wax pencil and had the residue that said clarity on it, instead of that single sort of oblong sphere in the middle of this device, you see that there is a cluster of smaller spheres all sort of stuck together at the center. So I think that that's the biggest physical difference that you notice.
I have like a harebrained scheme I'm cooking up. So I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, who or what here could be a useful opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to specifically gain information on how the energy blast or whatever you want to call it that this device took, why that pulse deactivated it.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I want to do is build a gun that does that thing.
Okay. So that might be a bit of a project.
I'm hoping it is. I'm scrolling down to start a new personal project.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a couple things, I think, on that. Because, I mean, you asked who or what here could be a useful opportunity. I'm definitely going to give you that answer. But I think there's some more things that you might get from this.
Scrumptious. May I have another?
Before I get to the answers, what does it look like in the research lab as you're kind of analyzing this? Do you have it connected to equipment? Like, I just want like some description of the vibes as you're kind of going through this.
Yeah.
Thing.
I think that we talked about the other device in kind of a state of disassembly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that since she's worked with one of these before, she doesn't need to be so delicate and so careful. She kind of knows the innards, where the screws are, where to take things out.
Yeah.
She knows the delicate pieces from like the robust ones. And she also knows like what's superfluous, what's just to like hold things together, and what is actually like technology that needs to be hooked up to things or scanned. So I think that you see her working fairly quickly. She's on her third cup of Folgers Classic with an extra dollop of pure caffeine. And she's moving very quickly.
So I think what we see is you sort of going and taking these pieces out and maybe like connecting them with those little electrical clips that connect it to different systems. And we see a bunch of numbers and waves flashing up on the screen. And I think that you realize that what disabled this device was, I think we had described the blasts from this ghost ship as a directed energy weapon. I think I had used that term before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's almost like a miniaturized electromagnetic pulse or blast that's hitting the targets at whatever this ghost ship is shooting at. And I think that what you realize looking at this device is, I mean, the Valiant took some damage, right? You got, you know, it was a direct hit, and I think we saw the sparks fly. But I think that you realize two things from this. One, the damage that the Amity suffered was a lot more extensive. Maybe that's because the ship's shielding was worse. You know, it's not a warship. It is a merchant vessel. But obviously with the blast that that ship took, it was drifting in space. It was essentially dead in the water. And the Valiant, on the other hand, that damage was a lot more superficial. But I think that you realize, even with that residual damage, that this pulse was tuned to the resonant frequency of some of the key components in this device. And so I think if you had the right type of weaponry, if you had some kind of electromagnetic, again, this kind of directed energy weapon, and you were able to apply this adjustment to it, you could build something that, if you were shooting this at a vessel or something else that had this device on board, you might be able to damage it to a state that it would not be able to be activated. But I think the other thing you realize looking at this device is that this damage, while extensive and while it might take a while, is reversible, or at least that you, I think, could figure out a way to do that. And so while on the one hand you could build this directed energy weapon and tune it to damage these devices with possibly less damage to whatever that device is within, if it's a vessel or something else, on the other hand, you could also try to repair this device and bring it back to an active state. I think as you're going through the device and pulling out these components, though, maybe you like reach in and you have to put your, you know, is it the fourth now, cup of coffee down on the desk? And I think you see that where that coffee is, there is a small residue of dust on the desk where you put that coffee cup down. How does Mara react to that?
Does the dust look like asteroid dust? Like we saw kind of, right, we were just down that asteroid. People are taking showers to get the asteroid dust off of them.
Yeah.
What is it akin to in Mara's mind?
If that's your question, I want to know, how is Mara looking at this? Do you like put your fingers in it and lift it up to your eye?
No, of course not. No.
Are you kind of like scraping it onto a slide? Like, what are you doing to look at this and examine it?
So Mara is a scientist, so she always has a hand lens at the ready, okay. Like a personal little kind of microscope. Yeah, yeah. And so she's holding it like in one hand, kind of rotating the lens to get a good idea of what its chemical makeup is.
And is this like, what is the future version of this? Is this just old school and analog, or is there some kind of like crazy digital stuff to this one that Mara has? I want to get a teeny bit more flavor on this. A dust of flavor for this dust.
I think just she kind of intrinsically grabbed it, and there are more high-tech versions, right, that have kind of telescopic lenses that come out. I think this one is her uncle's. So okay. I think it's just an old-fashioned just cut glass. Yeah, I think it's just cut glass and black, maybe.
Yeah. Okay, I love it. So Mara, you're looking at this, and I mean, you were on this asteroid, but I think it's clear that this dust, what you're looking at, is the surface material from a loosely packed or low gravity celestial object. So certainly could be an asteroid. But I think the thing that you realize is this dust, the color is completely different from what you saw on the surface of that asteroid. So it seems like the chemical makeup has to be different in some way. And that it looks like this dust that apparently came from the inside of this device as you opened it, came from somewhere else.
I think that she will pop on some like chemical resistant gloves. Mm-hmm. She was maybe just like working with her bare hands before, kind of not anticipating, you know, this contamination.
Yeah.
And she will attempt to scoop up the dust.
So I think we see you do that, and maybe you sort of collect a sample of this. And you know, do you have like a kind of like the mass spectrometer of the future on Valiant? Okay.
Yeah.
So I think we see you kind of putting it into that. And I think it's the analysis that's being run. I don't think you get an answer to this yet, but I think the analysis that you start to run is, what is the match of this chemical composition to like known objects within the Verge or within our own solar system? So with that, I want to cut back to Nasir. And I think you hear a soft knock on the door to your cabin.
Come in.
So I think the door chimes and opens, and you see Charlie Zamora standing in the door, but they do not enter the room. They just stand in the doorway.
Charlie, something wrong?
When we were escaping, running, I noticed just for a few minutes another drift on the CM drive, something pulling us off course. When I checked the logs, I found that someone modified the flight profile. And I think you see Charlie look left and right as if to see if there's anyone else in the hallway, though they're still not walking into your room. And then they say, the username that modified the system, it was yours.
I made the adjustments.
Why?
I anticipated that we would have drift similar to that which you frankly discovered last time, and that it would be larger this time. I was incorrect.
So I think when you say that, Charlie kind of gulps and then steps into the room. Why would you have thought that?
Charlie? I think after the door closes, I have dangerous information, as does Captain Alba and the other three members of the Minerva Project. I would like to read you in, Charlie, but I'm going to need you to hold out on that for at least an hour after we arrive at Ascension Station, after which I will tell you everything. Until we've made it to Ascension, giving you any more information puts you in danger. Danger like we just encountered. Charlie, I like you. I wouldn't want to see you get hurt.
So I want you to roll. And I think that the thing that it felt like you were doing there is manipulate, but also at the end, it sounded like it could be intimidate also. So I'll let you tell me which one you think it is.
I don't actually think it's either. I think it's of the people. I think it's when you make a person feel like they share a real connection with you, roll plus slick, and on a 10 plus, hold three.
Let me look.
The last three questions, the last four questions really, are the ones that like apply here. The first one's not super applicable, but the other four are. I'm trying to give them like as much information as I am able and level with them. So, and for them to understand that like, I really do like you. And like, I want you in here, but this is dangerous.
Yeah.
And I'm looking out for you.
Okay. I like it. Go ahead and roll plus slick then.
That is a 6 plus 2 plus 3, which is an 11.
Okay. So on a 10 plus, you get a good read on them and you get to hold three. And so you can spend those one for one to ask the following questions. Is your character telling the truth? What are they truly feeling? What do they intend to do? How could I get your character to blank? And what does your character wish I'd do?
So I think the middle three, what is your character truly feeling? Like, what is going through Charlie's mind? Mm-hmm. What does your character intend to do? If left unchecked, how would Charlie respond? And then lastly, how do I get your character to blank? And then in this case, it's to trust me and to just hold off for a few more hours.
Yeah. So I think that's a perfect way of asking, because I think I can take those in exactly that order. So I think for the first one, what is your character truly feeling? I think they're feeling betrayed. I think that they realize that you had a secret and that you knew about this drift and that you knew there was a threat to the ship and that you kept it from them and did not share it, despite the connection that the two of you had built up during your work on the Valiant. In terms of what they intend to do, I don't think that they're sure yet, but you can tell that their inclination is to tell someone. And whether that's Nico Torres or someone else, I don't think that it's clear at this stage. But I think if you want to know how you could get them not to, you need to say something more that proves that what you're saying about you don't want them to get hurt and that they need to keep this a secret, that you're saying that because you're genuinely worried about them and not just about yourself.
I understand that you might be reticent to trust me right now, Charlie, but I assure you I have nothing to lose. And I will play for them the clip of Nico Torres telling me that I would step down and step away quietly from the Minerva Project. The folks operating the Minerva Project were fully aware of the dangers that we were undertaking, including Nico Torres. The first moment where he was unaware just occurred out in calmless space. And I have already been quietly dismissed from the project. There is very, very little left for me to lose. I don't want to see you end up in the same position.
I think as you're saying that, Charlie's demeanor is one of hurt and dejection. I think their shoulders are kind of slumped over and they're looking down at the floor a bit. But I think after you finish speaking and there's a brief pause, they look up into your eyes, and I think there is some anger left. And I think they say, "All right, Nasir, I'll trust you on this one more time. But after this, it has to go both ways. Once we're back on Ascension, after you've had your hour, you need to tell me everything, and I need to understand."
"You have my word."
I think after you say that, Charlie takes one step back and then gives you a shallow nod and then turns and walks through the door and down the hallway further onto the Valiant.